Thank you, Pastor. Great to see you this morning. Good morning, everybody. We're honored to be with you this morning. We had a great time yesterday with all the children's ministry guys. Talked about that very, very important ministry. Honey, you want to stand up? This is my wife, Trudy. This is our, as of August, we've been married 51 years. Isn't that wild? We got married when we were 10. No, not really. I would like to talk about a couple things on our table back there. We've got a book about marriage and kids called Devil Proof Your Family that we did a couple of years ago. We're very proud of this book. It came out really well. And we talk about half of the book is about marriage. And listen, marriage is the foundation of everything in life. When you think about what's happening in our culture right now, the enemy is attacking the very foundational things in that, you know, that are that God wants us to build life on. The Bible is a book that begins with a marriage. Did you know that? You got Adam, and then here comes his wife Eve later on, and they got married by Genesis chapter 2. So you could say the Bible begins with a marriage, right? And did you know at the end of the Bible there'll be another marriage? The marriage supper of the Lamb, supper, which means we're going to eat. That's good, right? And so, but it's a marriage thing. So you got marriage at the beginning, you got marriage at the end, and then the story of the Bible is all about family. Yeah, and it's a very dysfunctional family. When you read it, there's trouble in the family, trouble in the house, right? So we all have to deal with this thing called family. We all came from one, whatever that looks like for you. And maybe you didn't have a father. Maybe you didn't have a mother that was in your life. I don't know, but whatever you didn't have, Jesus came to make that up. Did you know that? But then we need to learn some things about family. So that's why we wrote this book, and Trudy and I have taught on family for like many, many years. I'd like to give this away to somebody. Mike, would you help me out? I don't want to jump down there. Somebody would like this book, raise your hand up, and Mike's going to find you. He's led of the Spirit, okay? All right, there you go. And then we've got some of our kids' music. Pastor mentioned our music. We've done praise and worship songs for kids for like nearly 40 years. And our latest project is this is for kids. Kids worship music, because kids need to learn to worship God when they're little, right? And this one's called Shine a Light. And this is the latest one. My son is involved in this too. He's a pastor in Oklahoma City where we live. And we have a great church there we're excited about. So I encourage you to pick this up. And then you can get for free, everybody say free, a bookmark back on the table. And this tells you how to go to our ministry website. And you can find all sorts of free stuff there. Everybody say free. So it doesn't cost you anything, like, right? And a lot of teaching about family, about marriage, about raising kids. And also you can just find out what's going on with our ministry. We have an email that comes out every week that deals with family issues. So there you go. We're honored to be with you this morning. This faithful house, these two people have been faithful to God for a long time. Amen. Give them a hand. Wonderful people. Beautiful hearts. And we're proud to be with you this morning. Let's pray and we'll get into the Word. You ready? Lord, we thank you today for Jesus. He's our Lord. Thank you for the times that we're living that are crazy, but we thank you that you have called us as the church to be a triumphant church, to win in life. You called us into this time to be your representatives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today to preach this gospel clearly so people can leave here different, armed and empowered, filled up to go out and touch the world for Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Thank you. This morning, I'm gonna talk about family a little bit, talk about relationships some, but I want to talk about the times that we're living in. I turned on the TV this morning, and we're getting ready, and I'm listening to some preachers, and everybody's talking about the times we're living in. And I think it's important to understand the times. And here's the title of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Here it is. Are we coming full circle in life? Are we coming full circle? What does that mean? Well, you know, a circle like starts right here, and then it goes around and around and around and around, but it always comes back where it started, or it's not a circle. So my question this morning for you, for us, is in this circle of time that we live in, you know, God doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity, and there's no time there. We don't really understand that because we're earth people, and time is everything to us. But what are the times that we're living in like? And could history be repeating itself in our time? Go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. And this is a Bible principle that history could be repeating itself. It says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, and I'm reading from the NLT, guys. You may have another translation, but I'm going to read this. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Winston Churchill said this concerning the negative about what we're talking about this morning. Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So could history be repeating itself? There's a book that came out a few years ago, and there was an article written, not a few years ago, just last year in 2020, and there's an article about it in the Time magazine from last November, and it's called COVID-19, The Great Reset, and it's by a man named Klaus Schwab, who's the director of World Economic Forum in Geneva, Switzerland. And I quote Mr. Schwab. He says, "You never waste a crisis. And so this COVID-19 season is a perfect opportunity for us to radically reset the social order globally, reset ecology, reset economies, technology, national borders, develop digital currency." Have you noticed there's a lot of places don't take cash anymore? Yeah? Healthcare passports, contact tracing, and ultimately have a one world government. So the goal here is to reset the whole global community and shrink it down into a one world community. But I present to you, this is the circle coming back around, because this is not new. This has been done before. This was done with people like Napoleon, who wanted to rule the world, Alexander the Great. Most recently, a guy named Hitler, who wanted to rule the world, right? So this has been done before. This all began in the Bible at a place called the Tower of Babel. Remember the story of the Tower of Babel? These people, there was a guy named Nimrod who came along, and he had a new idea. He wanted to reset the world without God. So you read about this in Genesis 11. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to, but it's a story of the Tower of Babel. And it begins by saying that, then they said, or let me say this before I get into the scripture. It says, verse 1 says, they journeyed from the east. Journeyed from the east. Now, here's what that means. If you ever read that in the Bible, you know there's all these codes in the Bible that speak to different things. And when it says they journeyed from the east, it means they were going away from God. They had a new idea away from God. Genesis 11:4 says this. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." So people got together and they began to build this tower, and there was unity, and they were being successful. They were doing this deal, but God saw it. Remember the story? And God came down and he confused the languages, which still goes on today. There's different languages, which separates people. But the authority of man even then was strong when they got together. And the enemy, the devil, knows that. Now, this was led by a guy named Nimrod. You ever heard of him? It says he was a mighty hunter. But that doesn't mean that he was like really good at killing deer or something like that. That means that he was a hunter of men, or he wanted to subjugate men under his rule and under his authority. He wanted to rule over men with this new idea. This was the beginning of socialism, or government without God. This kind of government, it doesn't free people. It enslaves them, and that's what was happening. Remember, they made the tower out of bricks? Now, bricks, here's another code. When you read about bricks in the Bible, it's always speaking of sameness and people just being, you know, if you build with bricks, all the bricks are a certain symmetry. They're all the same, right? And God forbade the Jews from building an altar. They had altars to commemorate what God had done. And God said, don't build with bricks, build with stones. Now, stones, you can build with stones, but it's harder to do because stones are all different. At our house, we live in Oklahoma City. We'd lived in Tulsa for a long time and moved 5 years ago because my son planted this church. And so these guys came in. We had a little funky fireplace. We wanted to build it out a little better. So these guys came in and built us a stone fireplace that goes up on one of our walls, you know, with the fireplace. And it was interesting to watch these guys because they had to cut these stones. They had a saw out in the backyard, and they would have to fit them in. And it was tedious work. You know, they plastered them up. And this speaks to that God doesn't make us to be bricks. He makes us to be stones. We're all different. You know, you think about all the different people in the world. There's like 7 billion, and there's not anybody that's quite the same. You ever notice that? Nobody looks quite the same. You may look like somebody. I've been told before, you ever been told you look like somebody? I've been told more than once that I look like an actor named James Caan. You remember James Caan? He was the father in Elf. That's right. I don't know. Maybe some people are going, maybe so. I'm good. I'm better looking than James Caan, I think, but I don't know. But you know what? I'm not James Caan. I was told one time that a lady, I was at a counter in the airport. She said, you know, you sound like Johnny Cash when you talk. And I thought that's pretty cool. I like Johnny Cash. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. But I'm not. And there's nobody quite like me. You know, there's nobody that looks like you, sounds like you, have a voice print. You have a fingerprint unlike anybody else's. There's nobody that thinks like you exactly. But God is into individuals. He's into building with stones. The Bible says we're lively stones, right? So that's not God's way of doing things. But back to our point, this is history repeating itself. In fact, everybody, I want you to help me this morning. We're going to make a circle. Are we coming full circle? Put your finger right there on that point. And let's go around and around. And what comes around goes around and comes around. And then kabam, we're back. We're back. So if history could be repeating itself in the world, could it be repeating itself in the church? And could it be, I have another thought for you concerning this, if history repeats itself. Could it be that history will repeat itself in the church, but it will be better than at the beginning of the church? You got that thought? Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8 now. Ecclesiastes 7, 8. I love this scripture. This is New King James. I'm reading. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Everybody say better. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of the church. I'm going to look at that. And if we're coming full circle, and if the end is better than the beginning, let's look at how the thing began. And then that will point to us what I believe may be happening at the end, only it will be better. Did you get that? Well, it will be better. I believe it will be better because God only gets better. It only gets better when you're serving Him, right? So go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's look at the beginning of the church. And let me just give you a little backstory here. You know what happened. Jesus rose from the dead, died on the cross, rose from the dead. But He didn't go to heaven right away. There would be times we read in the book of John and, you know, in the book of Acts how Jesus would appear from time to time. And He'd just like show up. And He could like walk, come through walls because He had a glorified body, which would be really cool. You know, if you're a Christian, one of these days you will leave this earth. And when Jesus returns and comes back, right before He returns, there will be this deal called the rapture of the church. And those that are dead in Christ will rise first, but we'll all go to be with Him. But in the process of that, we get a brand new body. Wow. A glorified body. Will we be able to go through walls? I don't know, but I want to try that. Wouldn't that be cool? And just like I want to come to Boston from Oklahoma, I don't have to deal with these airlines. I could just be here. Bam. That's where Star Trek got that whole idea about, you know, you disappear and then you appear. They got that from God, I think. Anyway, so Jesus is showing up, and in Acts chapter 1, He tells His disciples right before He goes to heaven. I mean, they're going to watch Him go up through the clouds, ascend, and go up to heaven. That's where He is today, seated at the right hand of the Father, right? But He told them this. He said, boys, I want you to take this gospel to the world. But listen, you're not quite ready yet. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive power to do what I've called you to do. Everybody say power. You know, we need power to live in life, right? We need power to be a witness for Christ. We need power as the church to touch the world. You know, we are called as the church to touch the world. Did you know that? Not just the pastors. All of us. We're supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So, Jesus tells them that. And then in Acts chapter 2, oh, he said this. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait for this promise that I've told you about, the Holy Spirit. So here they go. There's 120 of them. They go to this place called the Upper Room in downtown, the old town of Jerusalem. And we're going to pick this up in verse 1, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that was a Jewish holiday where they would all come together from all around the country and celebrate this festival, this feast called Pentecost. They were all with one accord in one place. And the Holy Spirit came for the first time to the earth. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. That's not very good. Suddenly. Thank you. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So the Holy Spirit manifested in ways that people could sense it and feel it even and see it. And it came first as a wind, like a wind. You know, the Bible said that when God made Adam, that he took this clump of dirt, he formed this man out of dirt, and then he breathed into his body the breath of life, and Adam came alive. And then God said, Adam, the day that you disobey me and eat of the tree, remember the story? It's the day you'll surely die. Now, Adam didn't die physically, but I think the breath of God, the life of God, left him from his spirit, and now Adam's dead. Could this be that the wind, the breath of God's coming back? To get people, to help people get us saved, right? So he manifests in breath. It filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire represented. Fire always represents purification. You know, the fire of God will clean you up and make you right. That's what happens, I think, when we get born again. The breath of God comes back on the inside of us. And then we're purified from all that sin and that junk we were in. You can be made brand new through Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? And that's what began to happen that day. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Remember how God confused the languages at Babel? Now they got a common language. Now they don't understand it with their mind, but it's the language of God. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's so awesome. You get saved, and on the inside, you're made brand new. But then you can be filled with God on the inside. You have the Holy Spirit to be born again. But you're not filled until you're baptized. It's another experience. And you begin to speak in this new language. It's a language of God. God restored their language. And it was awesome. And miracles flowed that day. And great things happened. And that was the beginning of the church. And it hit downtown Jerusalem that day. And it affected the community. It wasn't done in the back in an alley. It was done like in downtown Boston, man, where everybody would know about it, where the news would have to report it in our day. I believe God's going to do something like that again. I do. Hallelujah. But here's the point I want to make about this. The church began with unbridled excitement. Remember when you got saved? You know, the book of Revelation talks about our first love. And you need to go back there from time to time. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, it was radical. Because I was a sinner. And I was jacked up, man. I was messed up. I needed help, but I didn't even know where to look. But Jesus radically came into our lives. Trudy got saved first and filled with the Holy Spirit. I came home one night. She said, I had the most awesome day. I said, what happened? She said, well, I got saved. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can talk in other tongues. You want to hear me? Is that what you said? This is the truth. I said, you know, I don't even know what she's talking about. I said, okay, I'm trying to be a good husband. So she said, okay, come with me. So we go back to the bedroom of our little apartment. She took me to the bedroom. And then she says, you kneel beside the bed. I said, yes, ma'am. And I kneeled, and she came over and kneeled, and she flipped the light off. We laugh about that now. I guess she thought it would be more holy in the dark. So we're kneeling beside the bed, and she prays. And then she begins to pray in this language. I've never heard anything like that. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, wow, what in the world? But you know what? I didn't get it, But I knew she wasn't making that up. And she flips on the light. She said, "What do you think?" I said, "Man, you're good at that. That was awesome." She said, "Are you ready?" I said, "For what?" She said, "You can receive this now." And I said, "Me? Me? No, 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 no." She tells a story that kind of, you know, messed up her thinking. But then she began to pray for me. And I didn't know she was praying for me. That's sneaky. Sneaky to pray for somebody when they don't know it. And in the time she's praying, God began to deal with my heart. You know, when you pray for people, particularly your spouse, listen to me, your spouse and your kids, there's this connection you have because you're blood relatives, and it releases God to go work on your family. You know what? You got kids that aren't serving God today? Pray for them. Believe God over them. It releases God to begin to deal with their life and bring people into their path. God can do awesome things. My dad got saved. He didn't want to get saved, but I prayed for him for 10 years diligently until my dad is in heaven today. Praise God. Because we pray, our prayers are powerful. Hallelujah. But it rocked our world. Man, we found out that God still did miracles and did all this stuff. And we were so excited. I remember when I got right with God and filled with the Spirit. I walked out. It looked like the sun was shining brighter. And I felt clean. Isn't it great to feel clean when you were dirty? And I knew that I had a peace about me that I'd never had. God gives you peace. You know, the enemy then begins, we have to develop, we just get saved. I didn't know anything, and I begin to learn. But the enemy's going to come against you every day of your life to try to take that away from you, to try to put you down and mash you down and make you get away from this peace and this glory and this wonderful thing God did on the inside of you. You got to fight for that. You got to fall back in love with Jesus every day. Are you listening to me? The church began with that kind of a thing happening. And then point number two, this is my last point this morning, that every age group was included in that early church. Look in Acts chapter 2:16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall, Peter got up, people are confused because they're praying in these languages and people are saying, "What's going on here? Are they drunk? I mean, what is this?" And there were people all over, remember, all over Jerusalem. It went out into the streets. And so Peter got anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the first gospel message. And he begins, he says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He got a revelation that because he had read Joel, and God gave him a revelation, this is what's going on. "And it shall come to pass," he's quoting Joel, "in the last days begin then, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Hallelujah. So we read all this, but let me, you know, we kind of, I think, pass over this. This is talking about the three generations of people that are alive today. All different age groups. It talks about old dudes. It talks about young dudes. It talks about kids. Talks about sons and daughters. There's three generations alive in this church this morning. There are old people, there are younger people, and then there are kids. And they're all important. And God wants to merge these three generations in the last days. Peter declared it. It was for the beginning. It's for the end. That means every age group filling their place and their position. Because you're in one of these groups today. You're either a child. If you're a child, you're probably in kids' church this morning. Or you're young. Or you're old. I think I've moved into old. And here's what I like about it. God didn't leave me out just because I got old. I'm not done. You're not done just because you're old. If you're breathing, you're not done. God wants to use you. Hallelujah. In the last days. And I think, you know, I'll just talk. Let me talk about old people for a minute because I am one. God wants to use older people. And I think, just my observation, I think older people are cooler today than they've ever been. You know, I've got some stats here. Do you know people live longer today than they used to? The average age of being a first-time grandparent is only 47. If you're 47, I think you're still young. That's my thought. Today's grandparents are healthier than ever. They're more street smart. They're more computer smart. They have iPhones and iPads. Older people. I'm preaching from an iPad this morning because I'm cool. Thank you. They drink lattes. I had one this morning. I like this one. They're more sexually active than previous generations. Thank you. You know, I remember growing up, the older relatives in our family, like we'd get together as a family, especially on my mom's side. She had a bunch of characters in her family. And a lot of them were Christians. My dad's side was different, real, real different. My dad wasn't a believer and his family was not. But my mom's family come together, and all these older aunts and uncles, they sit around and talk, sit in a circle, and they're talking. And I particularly remember Aunt Bess. Aunt Bess. Aunt Bess is in heaven today, been there a long time. Wonderful lady. I don't denigrate her at all by saying this. But Aunt Bess, just you looked at her as a little kid. I'm a little kid. I just thought Aunt Bess is trying to look old. It's like she had a granny bun hairdo, granny glasses, big granny dress. She had shoes that looked like military boots. Old people used to wear that kind of stuff. And then she had the roll-down stockings on her ankle. Anybody remember people like this? And you know, we sit around and talk, and Aunt Bess had a green bean can, and she would talk a little bit, but she was dipping snuff. And she's spitting that green bean can. I remember as a little kid, I'm thinking, I don't want to see what's in that can. Ew. But I think people are cooler today. And understand this. God wants to use older people in our time. Psalm 71:17. If you're an old dude like me, you ought to look this up. And I speak this over my life a lot. Maybe not every day, but a lot. And here's what it says, Psalm 71:17. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. And to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation. That's what I'm doing. Your power to everyone who is to come. You know, God wants to use older people. Now, when you get older, you have to transition. There's a new chapter coming up. But that doesn't mean you're done. Abraham. Bible's full of people that were older and God used. You know, Abraham was 100 years old when he did his greatest work. His wife was 90 and they had a baby. Wow. I don't even want to do that. But that was God's plan. And that baby produced the reason we're sitting here this morning, the church. Abraham had a great link in this time, circle of time. So are we coming full circle? Is God going to use old people in the last days? I believe God wants to. And then God wants to use young men. There are young people rising up now, being raised up now with new ideas that understand the culture of the time. My son's a pastor in Oklahoma City. Our church is doing really, really well. You know, through the pandemic, last year we moved into a building. The church is 6 years old now. For the first time we had a building, we were doing setup and tear down for like nearly 5 years. And the church since last year has doubled in people. And there's an excitement in our church. And they do things a little bit differently than we did, you know. They dress in T-shirts and jeans and they say things a little bit differently, and yet they preach the word, and people are getting healed in our church. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. We're having young men that have a new idea, not change the Bible. Understand that you wouldn't change the Bible, but the way we administrate things has to change. Praise God. We need to open up ourselves to new ideas from these younger men. Styles change every generation. If it would have been 20 years ago, I'd be suited up this morning. And Pastor Ed would not be wearing those red shoes. You didn't wear red shoes in the 80s, you know. But now we got cool. Look at us. Me and you, I'm in a jean jacket this morning. Can you believe it? So we need to open up our heart to what's going on there. But then it says sons and daughters will prophesy. That's where I want to finish up. This is talking about our kids. This is about how important children are. Yesterday, we did a training session for about 3.5 hours over here, and we were talking about children's ministry, because children's ministry is, that's not something to be done in the back room, although it is in another place, because we have to communicate to them differently because they're kids. But kids need the Word of God. And God wants us to see the importance of young children. God says, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Peter concludes this message in verse 39 by saying, for this promise, what promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is for you and to your children, verse 39, and to all that are afar off. Listen, I'm saying this because the entire church needs a vision for what's going on in kids' ministry. The entire church. Thank you for that resounding amen, but it's true. It's true. And you know, we have to say it in a different way, maybe on their level, but that doesn't mean they can't learn. A few years ago, my son and daughter-in-law came to see us. We lived in Tulsa and they lived in Dallas, and they had three little kids in. Gus was six, Bo was three, Sonny was an infant. She wasn't a year old yet. So we're keeping the kids while Josh and Sarah go out to eat. So I got the two older ones upstairs, and we're hanging out together with Paw, and Trudy's got the baby downstairs. And so the two little kids go downstairs, and there's been about, Josh and Sarah left to go to a movie, and it's been about 15 minutes since they've gone. And I'm upstairs, and here's what I heard in the sequence. I heard Trudy say, oh my goodness. No, here's what I heard first. I heard kids going down the stairs, and I heard a splash of water. And then I hear kids crying, and I'm thinking, why was there a splash of water? And then I hear Trudy say, we're having a flood. So I go flying down the stairs and hit the living room, and out of our entry room bathroom, water is just flowing because somebody had used the toilet and that's overflowing. And it's been going for about 15 minutes, so we got water everywhere. And what happened was Trudy came in with the baby, holding the baby, and everybody's crying when I got there too. And so there's pandemonium, and Trudy's holding the baby. She's crying. But I heard Gus, the older one, say, when Trudy said, oh, my goodness, we're having a flood, I heard Gus in his little six-year-old voice say, but my mama told me that God promised Noah he would never flood the earth again. You know, we cleaned all that up, but then we thought about what he said. I mean, to him and his six-year-old mind, Nana's saying, a flood's here. We're all going to die. And Gus is saying, we can't. The word of God's on the line. God won't do that. That's good. He learned that. Why? His mama told him. Mamas and daddies need to teach their kids about the Bible. That's a big deal. And the church is a part of this. Listen, the local church has got to make a place to minister to kids. That's not just child care. We talked about this in detail yesterday. But that is real ministry. In the local church, one of the most important things we do is teach the word to our children. My friend Willie George says this, if a church doesn't reach the kids of the church, its lifespan is going to be about 30 years until it dies. Because the children are what we're passing this thing to. And here's a powerful revelation. All those little kids in those classes this morning in the nursery, they're all going to grow up and turn into real people. And what they get from God will determine where they go in life. So churches should be designed to minister to every age group. The nursery, the preschool, the first through the sixth grade, and our students. We're handing this off. Our vision is at our church is to train these little kids. And we make a big deal about kids' ministry at our church, New Song Church. We've got a wing that is the exact same square footage for the kids' ministry as we do for the auditorium. Our auditorium's about this size, maybe a little bit bigger than this. But we made a big deal about it. Our classes are cool. We decorated those classes. We spent money on them. And at our church, about 40 to 45% of our crowd every weekend is little bitty kids. But because of that, we got families coming, right? You know, we got a family that told this story to us. The guy's like a businessman, and his wife is a medical doctor. In fact, she's Trudy's physician, doctor. And they began to come to our church because they were looking for something more. You know, the world is looking. Do you know that? They are. I kind of can feel it happening, can't you? I believe there's a hunger coming to the world. They're going to be looking for God like never before. We got to be ready. But this couple, anyway, they came to our church from another church background, but they're looking for more. And they got these two little preschoolers. So they come to our church. It's pretty loud praise and worship, kind of like you guys. That worship was good, by the way, Mike. You guys sound wonderful. And you know, it's like that, and it's real engaging, and people are coming up front and lifting their hands and singing real loud and rocking it. And then the pastor's preaching pretty passionate messages, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he and his wife were sitting there. They tell the story, and they looked at each other and said, I don't know if this is for us. This is, wow, you know, a little much. But they picked their kids up. And the next weekend, they're going to check out another church. But their kids put pressure on them by saying, no, we want to go back to that church. That was awesome. So from the pressure of their children, they came back. And then they came back again. And they've been coming, I don't know what they said, a couple of months. And one day, the wife leans over to her husband and says, I think this is where we're supposed to go to church. So the kids got it before the parents. But you got to make a place for these kids, right? It's important. And I say all that because we are the church that facilitates this. It was so cool yesterday. There's about 45 people here that came to hear about children's ministry. And that's great. That's a big percentage of this church. And we need and we preached vision about it yesterday because we need to understand it. And some of us need to help because children's ministry needs people that will help get the work done. And not everybody can be paid. It needs volunteers. We got tons of volunteers working in our church. And that's the way it ought to be. Y'all are looking at me real funny because I'm putting you to work, aren't I? Aren't you excited about working? But even if you don't work with kids, because maybe not everybody will, at least you need to be nice to little kids. When you see them running around the church, go up to them, especially you men. Go up to these little kids, these little boys and little girls and say, hey, buddy, how you doing? Do you know God loves you? Here, you know what? I want to bless you. Pull your wallet out. Give them a 10. Don't just say you love them. Do something about it. Tell them, you know, some mamas come in here, single mamas, have little kids. The only picture of a man serving God they ever see is at church. And if you're not kind and nice to them and full of the Spirit and loving on them, what are they going to do? That's what we're supposed to do as a church, right? I know I'm being mean this morning, but listen, I don't think we have much time to play around. I believe the church will end like it began, only better. Remember, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. So what do I need to do? I need to find my place and get involved and realize I'm not done yet. Hallelujah. Does this help anybody this morning? You know, the Bible said when Peter got up and preached that message this day, the Lord brought this out to me this morning when I was praying and getting ready. It said that when Peter preached about what Jesus had done and about how that he had been crucified by sinful men, you know, that is all of us. All of us put him there. And the scripture said that when he preached, it says they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. We need to be cut to the heart this morning, folks. We need to fall in love with Jesus and realize how that was the thing that was done to change the world. We're here this morning meeting over this. We're not the Glee Club. We're not the Elk Club. We're the church. We're rising up with a new position and power and authority. There's kind of been a sleeping time, I think. I've seen it the last few years. Sleeping time. It's time to wake up. Wake up. Realize God's doing something. God's doing something. It's new. It's fresh. It's different. And God wants you to be a part of it. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment? Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. I pray that something I've said will stir somebody. And I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, I pray they be cut to the heart by Jesus this morning. Because we're not right with God because we came to church. We're right with God because we believe and we confess and we commit to make you not Savior but Lord. Jesus wants to be the Lord. That's different than Savior. That means you are at His behest to follow Him and declare Him and do what you, and to love people, to love people. But if you've never received Him this morning, you can right now. If you've never received Christ this morning, I want to pray for you. Before you leave, if that be you, would you raise your hand up real quick? As I look around, you say, I want to get saved, Pastor Ken. I'm not right with God. You know if you're right with God. You know if you've been playing around, too. It's time to get right. I want to pray for you. I'm looking for just a moment. Just a moment. And now number two. Listen for this one. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of this new language God wants to give you. You can receive that this morning. Man, that was a game changer for us. You need to be filled with the Spirit. It's something that Jesus wants everybody. It empowers you to live for Him and be a witness. Anybody say, Pastor Ken, I want to be filled with the Spirit this morning. Raise your hand up. Yes, yes, see that. Yes, see that. See those hands. Anybody want to join them? Praise God. Here's what I would like to do. And everybody look at me. Smile. Did you get anything out of this? I think, everybody help me out here. I think we're coming. Let's do the circle. We're coming full circle. We're coming full circle. These are the last days. The end is better than the beginning, right? Hallelujah. Pastor, I'm going to turn this back to you. But if you guys could tell me, these people that, there are three people that raised their hand and want to be filled with the Spirit, I'd like to pray with them. You guys have a place that I can take them and we can talk about that? So you guys just follow me as we're leaving right now. And I'm going to show you, and it's real simple. And you don't have to do anything weird. You're kind of scared about this. This guy's taking me out of church. No, I'm just going to explain this to you how it works. And then if you want to, we'll pray, then you can be filled with the Spirit.